Light 104.7 and 1570 AM WVTL.
We welcome Assemblyman George Amador to the program. Good morning, Assemblyman.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Well, I'm doing okay. How are you doing in the storm?
Well, it's treacherous out there, so I hope everyone would just be safe, be cautious, and I'm glad you made it into the studio, Bob.
Well, thank you very much, Assemblyman. Hope you'll make it where you have to make it today. The last I heard out of Albany had to do with pension reform. The governor wants it, but he says that members of the legislature, perhaps, I don't know if it includes you, are wary of this because of their ties to state unions.
No, actually, I'm a big supporter and want to help the governor bring forth a Tier 6 pension program. I think it's the right thing to do. I think that, the notion out there that this Tier 6 pension program will affect current employees or retirees is just absolutely dead wrong. It will not affect anyone who is currently in any of the existing tiers or someone who has retired. It is for anyone moving forward that the state hires, new jobs that they put on, and those new employees, new recruits will then be entered into the Tier 6 program, which will save taxpayers a lot of money.
We're now in the month of March, the budget deadline April 1st. Will it be a repeat? Will a state budget be adopted in time?
Well, I sure hope so. You know, last year you heard that, maybe the legislature, the legislative leaders gave our governor his honeymoon budget on time. And I know that we're working pretty hard on it. We've had numerous public hearings. The conference committees are starting up, and there's things that they're positioning so that we can get hopefully an on-time budget. But the debates will occur. You know, there's a lot of important issues on the table here, and I think some of those important issues have to be, again, some school funding, particularly for our upstate rural school districts, and we also need to continue to hit that drumbeat of mandate relief, because let's not have another budget that does not really bring forth some true property tax relief to the residents of the state of New York.
Mm. Well, let's take up a couple of follow-ups on those two topics. One on the schools, as you, I'm sure, are aware, it was a protest day for the rural school districts yesterday. I know Broad Auburn Perth sent a large contingent. Don't know about Fonda Fultonville, but those two are the local districts that seem to be in the most peril. But, I mean, isn't this just what always happens in Albany? People beating, what do they call it, beating the tin cup? They just want more money.
Well, I've been to Fonda just a few weeks ago, sat down with the superintendent and members of their board and their finance department there. When you look at what Fonda has implemented over the past few years, they've spent down their reserves, they've filled in the gaps without having to cut the important programs and services. And you know what? I'm proud of Fonda for putting forth what I saw in the classrooms when I toured the school as well was real true vocational education experiences that seem to be forgotten in the classrooms today. When I saw these kids putting forth fixing computers and putting forth some real live projects on an engineering basis and beginnings of those skill sets, it really helps the students who may not get just reading the book but have hands-on application, understand what they're learning, making a difference in their lives. And, Fonda has been working hard in doing everything they can with not getting the support from the state. So that's one thing that myself and Senator Farley are going to be working on.
Now, over to mandate relief. I mean, can we get real here? I mean, it seems to me what mandate relief often is a code phrase for is the Medicaid costs. I mean, the state of New York, if it were to assume more of the Medicaid costs, would have its problems balancing its own budget. Is that really going to happen?
Well, look, with mandate relief, there's a lot of issues, and there's a lot of topics. And there's some topics that let's set aside the Medicaid topic. But what about mandate relief? That, for instance, when DEC mandates and fines and fees upon local municipalities that have water and sewer systems that are 100 plus years old, and those local municipalities have really no source of funding coming in to make those improvements, but yet the state or the agency comes and whacks those municipalities over the head, then places a type of a moratorium on that local area so that they can't have any new connections, any more growth happening. How are you going to create jobs? How are you going to bring in new businesses or new housing in those areas if we have a state that just keeps going upon the local governments and beating them over the head with unfunded mandates? That's just one. We could talk about the public safety law, 207 and 207C, for instance, which exempts individuals' faults from injury cases, which is causing permanent disability status and an ongoing cost for municipalities. This is something that what caught my attention was exactly the same type of thing that these trial lawyers and these special interest groups in Albany got through that we've had on the books in the construction industry called the scaffold law, okay, the 240-241 labor law, which I'll tell you, it's crippling small businesses in the state of New York, and we in the state of New York are the only state to have such a law. Now, these are mandates that are not talked about because, they're not top of the story, but they're costing the taxpayers a boatload of money. And while all mandates were well-intended at the time that they were voted in, I mean, come on, let's be real. It came with no funding attached, and now we need, and many of them just make no sense in these current economic times.
Mm. Well, maybe there will be a push to... It kind of reminds me somehow of what the first George Bush with his 1,000 points of light. It seems to me what you're saying is there are all these other, I guess you might call them little mandates, that are big problems for business and for taxpayers.
Sure are. I mean, look, there's over 200-plus special education mandates that are out there that deal with reporting, that deal with various things in the school systems that then the state is mandating, or even the federal government's mandating. And there's no funding attached to it. And so what are these school districts? What's FONDA? Because we talked about FONDA, what are they going to do? Then they got to put in the budget how to do all of these reportings or the new people that they got to hire for such a thing. And yet they have very little input on asking the questions because the state ed department, they don't want to listen to them. Mm. You know, we have to have a bottom-up mentality in how we're going to reform the state and some of these mandate relief processes. We've had public hearings. We've had numerous discussions and debates in Albany. We have the governor now talking about, yes, we need to bring forth some mandate relief. So let's now talk about, even if we can't get, because it's so politically, hyper-political, to touch some of these big mandate relief items, let's then tackle the small ones that we can still bring some savings to the taxpayer.
Yeah. All right, sounds good. Assemblyman George Amador with us. I do have another area to ask you about, politics. Since last we talked, I wasn't really aware of this, that your former opponent, Angelo Santa Barbara, I believe is transferred to the Democratic Party and is saying he's going to run for assembly. And, of course, you say you'll run for assembly unless you run for state senate. But there's now a state senate Democratic candidate, Monica Arias Miranda, who's with an Hispanic organization and has worked for the state assembly. Is all this true? What's happening? Are you running for one or the other or both at this moment?
Well, I'm still going through the same thing that a few weeks ago we talked about, and that's the exploring the possibility of running for the Senate seat. We first, though, got to get through the redistricting process. Obviously, that's not done. The governor has not signed, the legislature has not voted on any redistricting bill, nor has the governor signed one into law. So let's see what happens in these next either few days or coming weeks on the resolute of bringing forth the new districts. And And if that is a area that there is going to be a 63rd Senate seat, and it encompasses Montgomery County, Schenectady County, and other parts of the state of New York and other counties, I am giving it considerable consideration on doing so, which could possibly then leave the current assembly seat, which I serve in, open for other candidates to run for.
Assemblyman George Amador, thanks for joining us. Be careful out there on the highways, Assemblyman.
Thank you. You too, Bob.
Take care.